And then somebody told me, said, it's all white. Never did read anything before you got started. I said, well, you know, said, and then my daughter one time said, you know, you're noted for that, Dad. So, but you know, you got, you know, everybody, every preacher has their own way and everything. And one time we had a brother come by, and so after he left, brother in our church, he don't go there no more. He'd quit for some odd reason. I don't know. Anyway, he told Brother Homer, he said, now, listen, you know, you had that preacher here the other day, that crying preacher. And so everybody knew who he was talking about, you know, Brother Darrell. So everybody's got their, you know, their little things and everything. So I just want to read you this little, how many's ever been to church and something happens and then your mind just starts wandering and then you start thinking different things like what you're going to do when you get home or whatever. Now let me read this to you, and this be real good. I ain't gonna tell you who wrote it, because you'll probably all know him. But anyway, he gave this to me a couple months back, and so I've read it. It's called Brother Favorite. Said, I went to church one Saturday night, and before I get started, you're gonna hear the voice of the mom, you're gonna hear the voice of the dad, and you're gonna hear the voice of the kid, the child, you know, their thoughts. Okay. I went to church one Saturday night to get a little further along. But when I found my favorite preacher wasn't there, I decided to just go back home. Oh, I kept my seat there on the pew and clapped as they sang their songs. And since I couldn't see that my vision was blurred, I just went on back home. 2 cups of flour, 1 part milk, and a dash of salt, or maybe 2. In just a few minutes, I'll have it all made, that dinner I've been promising you. The brother talked of that man Jesus and how with him will soon be gone. But I had already heard that mystery before. And besides, I was already at home. He jumped and he shouted and cried a bit. My, did he carry on. My brother favorite would never act that way. So I just went back home. The cylinders are knocking. That's what it is. That's causing my car to sputter. I can tighten the belts and adjust the carburetor. Maybe then I won't need that new motor. Many went to the altar that night and rejoiced that the old life was gone. But because Brother Favorite didn't call them up, I gathered my things and went home. When the final scripture read and the benediction said, they closed in a farewell song. But with expectations shattered, my face revealed the matter. I'd just as well be home. G.I. Joe battles Pokemon. Oh, boy, what a ruckus that'll be. I wonder if I call my girlfriend tomorrow, will her parents let her go out with me? I went to church feeling holy and right, but my attitude was long, long gone. The atmosphere I had created became the problems I'd have when I'm home. Thought that was real good. Amen. Stand together with me. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. Try not to hold you too long tonight. Just a simple thought. I'm a simple man. But I believe we're all guilty of this, what I want to speak on tonight. And I was thinking, you know, and just thinking, you know, Brother Baker said something to me this morning after service. And, my, you just don't know what you said this morning that kind of went along with what he'd been preaching on Wednesday night. And, you know, I I'm nothing. But, you know, God has helped me in my ministry, and just many times I've been to places and, you know, like I said, I hadn't even talked to Brother Baker. I just seen him when he walked through the door back there this morning. He'd been, you know, out hunting, and he texted me, and we got together and, you know, told him I'd be this way, because we had talked back in North Carolina during Brother Tim Humes' meeting, I think. And so he'd text me and, you know, told me where I'd stay and all that, and said he'd be out hunting and everything. I said, that's all right, and, you know, and different things. But, you know, it just shows that God's still real. He's still real and he cares all about us, don't he? Amen. So I just appreciate that. And again, we want to appreciate Brother Baker having us and, you know, the Brother Otis and them that asked us out last night and just different things. And Brother Andy this afternoon, we just appreciate that. You don't know how much we appreciate that. And Brother Baker told me back there, said, I'm going to have to come back and just, you know, when he got more time, me and him and his wife, my wife can just knock around. So maybe we can do that. You know, I don't have to preach and just come and just kind of enjoy ourselves. Amen. So we appreciate that. You know, it's good when you got friends. You know, and you got friends. And my wife, we was talking how we just love the worship service. You know, you come and, you know, you get in here and you create that atmosphere. You know, the Lord knew what he was doing. In the Old Testament, when they went out to battle, what did they put forth first? Their singers and their worshipers. And then they created that atmosphere and they could go out and conquer. And then, you know, we do that, create that atmosphere, then the word comes, the seed's planted, then you come back up here and water it with your praise and adoration toward him. My, this lovely. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 126. I want to read verse 5 and 6. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. When you got it, say amen. You know, it's made it so easy, though, anymore. You got to put it up on the screen, you know. Don't even have to open our Bibles, you know. But, oh, my. Psalms 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, what an honor it is to stand before your redeemed, the purchase of your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What an opportunity, Lord. Help me not to take it lightly, Lord. But Lord, humbly, Lord. We'd ask, oh God, that you just help us once again tonight, Lord God. Lord, maybe try not to hold the people very long, Lord. But Lord, just what you would have for us, Lord. And Lord, if we've come prepared, Lord, then surely we won't leave disappointed, Lord Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you just help us now, Lord. You saw the words that we read, Father. And Lord, the words are just words, but it's the Spirit that give it life. Lord, it's just a dead letter without your Spirit, Father. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit come upon it tonight, Lord. And Lord, may it go to where it needs to go, Lord God, because we know that in your word, in your scripture, we have a promise. You said when that word goes forth, it will not return back void, for it would go out and accomplish what it is purposed for and what it is sent for. May it do that tonight, Father. Whatever the word is to do tonight, if it's to correct, to uplift, to set free, to deliver, whatever it is, its purpose is for tonight, Lord. May it do that, Father, because it will not return void, Father. And Lord, may the people pull from the gift tonight, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that I can just move myself out of the way, Lord, and you speak through my lips, Lord. Help me to say those things that you'd have me to say. Refrain from those things that you would not want me to say. Anoint the hearts and ears of the listener, Father, that, Lord, they can receive those things that they have need of, Father, and we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak upon a little thought. Like I said, I'm simple. I want to speak on tears. Tears. And how I came about this is after my pastor's wife, her name was Sister Margie, after she passed away, and like I said this morning, he was just going through a rough time. But before she passed away, she was just been real sick. In and out of the hospital, I think my wife may remember, and for the last year, probably about, just in and out every 2 or 3 months, and just real sick and everything, and they had to run some tests on her and everything and do some biopsies, I think it was, or whatever. I can't just remember. She was supposed to go find out the results on a Thursday. So Brother Homer asked me to preach that Wednesday. I got to preach a little thought, not for sale. Not for sale. You remember in the scripture how that Naboth's vineyard was real close to Ahab's palace. And so Ahab wanted that vineyard at Naboth. And Naboth said, not for sale. Amen. And so I took that little thought, we're not for sale tonight. Amen. And so I thought about that. And so anyway, and so the next morning, and my wife, I don't know if she still got it on her phone or not, but when Sister Margie texted her and told her what the results were, what the doctor said. So on the way home from work, I called Brother Homer. I said, well, Brother Homer, what'd the doctor say? He told me, he said, David said, it's bad. She's got cancer. She's got it on her brain, her breast, her lungs. It's just all over her body. Then he lost it. And then I lost it. I said, I'm sorry, Brother Homer. He said, that's all right. I understand. I said, I'm Brother Homer. And I said, I understand. And so just, you know, just there, and it's real bad. And so I come across this little thought, and I couldn't get away from it, so I've been working on it. And so after Sister Margie passed away, Brother Homer, I've never seen him like this before. You know, pretty bad, you know, church, you know, because go through a transition ourselves as a church, you know, losing our pastor's wife. And so he'd asked me, he didn't preach there for a while. And he asked me, he said, you take Sunday night service? I said, well, I got to. He said, could you preach for us Sunday morning? I said, well, I got to be somewhere Sunday morning. I said, but I can be back for Sunday night if you want me to. He said, would you do that for me? I said, I will. So I went over to Brother Joseph Hammond's, which is about 2.5-3 hours away from us, and preached. Didn't even go out to eat with him that morning after service. Just got in our car. Me and my wife stopped somewhere along the way and got in the car, got back home so I could preach. And I preached this little message here, tears. So I want to come from three different points. I Googled this, and you know, Google, it has all the right answers. But I want to come from a scientific standpoint. Then I want to come from a scripture standpoint. Then I want to come by what the prophet said, if that be all right. So we find out that tears are the clear, salty solution and if there's a nurse or a doctor here, excuse me, but it's L-A-C-R-I-M-A-L. Is a clear, salty solution by the lacrimal glands that lubricates and cleanses the surface of the eyeball and inner surface of the eyelids. And in this, we look at a crying, sobbing, blubbering, or whatever you call it, from time to time, we're babies. And we all shed tears. We all cry. And there's nothing wrong with crying. I think it does us good every now and then to have a good cry. Amen. It does us good to shed a few tears. Amen. I don't want to be so hard-hearted that I can't shed a few tears when somebody tells me that they're going through something or somebody tells me they got a problem. I don't want to be so hard-hearted, Brother Dutch, that I can't shed a few tears for them. Oh, I hope that's the way we are tonight. Amen. So there's the salty solution. And we cry or we sob or we blubber or whatever, like I said, whatever you call it. But it says here that tears are necessary to keep the eyeball moist. And tears are interesting in themselves. And they consist of proteins and other substances which maintain the eye healthy and combat infection. Tears do that. Keeps the eyeball moist. Consists of other substances which maintain the eye healthy and all that. And not all tears are created equal. Hey, I thought, you know, years ago I thought crying is just crying. But all tears are not created equal. And said there, and there is more than one type of tear. Number one, it's called the basal tears. And these are the ones in our eyes all the time. And they serve in lubricating, nourishing, and protecting the eye. These basal tears. They serve as that. Lubricating the eye, protecting the eye, and nourishing it. Then there's not the two, there's number two, a second type that's called reflex tears. And what these are, it says that's to protect the eye from irritants. Has me ever, you sisters ever cut an onion and you start crying? That's the reflex tears. And they serve to protect the eye from irritants such as wind. Anybody's ever been out in a windstorm and you just start tearing up? Are you burning some trash? I don't know how it is here, but back home we can burn trash in our backyard or whatever. If we just, so long as it ain't too dry and stuff like that, because usually we get a lot of rain back where we're from, and, burn tears in that smoke, and it just, your eyes start watering. Well, these reflex tears protect it from wind, smoke, or onions. And some evidence suggests that these two types are chemically different. Your basal tears and these reflex tears, they're different. And then you got your emotional tears. And they may contain more protein-based hormones, all of which the body produces when under stress. These emotional tears. Like I said, they contain more protein-based hormones, and that produces when the body's under stress. And it says, when you start crying, the body is getting rid of these chemicals through tears. How many's ever been under stress? On your job or different things, a pastor goes through a lot of stress, and all that pastor's wife goes through a lot of stress. Sometimes a preacher himself, we live in a glass house. And it's not good to throw rocks when you live in a glass house. Amen. But everybody wants to point their finger at you because you're a preacher or whatever. Point their finger at your children and all that. Amen. I understand all these things. And you get under stress on the job, being a pastor, whatever, and you start crying. And after you had a good cry, you said, "My, I feel better." How many's ever done that? You really had a good cry and you feel a whole lot better. That's that tears, that emotional tears that are releasing these hormones so that you can feel a whole lot better. So I thought, my, interesting. And it said infants cry to get attention. Hey, Brother Brown said that. They cry. He said, we want to be good parents and, we want to be modern parents and we read the books on how to be a parent and everything, and you're a little baby and we're going to put this bell in your crib and when you need something, you just pick up this bell and go to ring it. No, it ain't going to work like that. They start crying. Why? Because something's wrong with them and they need a little attention. And so they shed a few tears. Amen. I wonder sometimes if that's what we don't need to do every now and then. Amen. Say, "God, I need your attention," and go to shedding a few tears. Then it said adults cry to get sympathy. I don't know how many of you in here tonight that want sympathy and you just go to cry. "Oh, my, it's just been so bad for me. The devil's been running me around all week and all." When we was in Pentecost, you used to hear that. "The devil's been after me. Bless his holy name." However, oh, my. But they cry. Adults cry. Infants cry to get attention. And we as adults cry to get sympathy. And it said in there, during this study, it said that 5.3 times a month a woman cries. That's equal to about 2 to 5 times a month. And it said a man is 1.4 times a month. Sometimes I think, never mind. Amen. But they cry. Amen. I want to read you something. Amen. Because like I said, it's nothing wrong with crying. Amen. Nothing wrong with it at all. But I want to read you something here. Question and answers, the prophet of God said. Listen what he said. "And you husbands to your wives." This is 1964 after the seals were preached. So. "And you husbands to your wives when they're in that time of life." Now you listen, you husbands, and you sisters can say amen. She said, if she ever was your sweetheart, you let her be right then. Because she needs you. She really needs your help. She needs somebody to help her and understand her. Because sometimes, hey, I don't. You come and don't touch me. Why don't you hug me? Leave me alone. You know? Hey, they go through that time. Hey, sometimes us men, we go, you know. And she said she needs you, somebody to help her and understand her. Talk to her. Take her up in your arms like she was your sweetheart. And she should be, and understand her, because she's going through a time that her entire makeup is changing. And you must be good to her at that time. My sisters. Amen. Amen. Oh, my. You know, man, you get out and you say, all right, Brother Andy, you heard what the prophet said. You got to be good to me. You know, and you, amen. He said, I think that's why Mr. Rockefeller never made that fatal mistake. He was loved by the nation, would probably have been our next president. But when his wife took menopause and went in menopause and he left her and married his secretary, you see what happened? That shows there's some real good thinking Americans yet. So I thought that was real good. Hey, man, because she said she needs you. If she ever was your sweetheart, you let her be that then. Hey, man, God help me tonight. Amen. Help me, Lord. Amen. Oh, my. So it said, also, you ever cry so hard and so long that you get a headache? You know, but whatever actually caused that, you dehydrated because of you shedding tears. You dehydrated. You ever heard that old saying? Why don't you, and usually us, you mamas tell your children, why don't you hush them crocodile tears? You know, just crocodile. But you know that's true, that crocodiles do cry because they got a third eyelid. And they do cry. And there's several other animals they named, and I won't name, I didn't write them down, that they cry. Amen. They do shed tears. And also, since cells of a female tear gland look different than a man's under a microscope. So also, the male tear duct is larger than a female's. And said the women's would run down their face quicker because of that. So that's just a little bit of scientific. Now let's look at some scripture. In 2 Kings 25, it says, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Amen. I like that. He said, turn again and tell Hezekiah. Said, I thus saith the Lord, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Amen. I believe he sees our tears tonight. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Psalms 42:3 says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Hey, man, that was David talking. And he was saying, my tears have been my meat. You ever go through something? Amen. Especially you brothers that work on the job. Maybe sometimes you sisters, you know, and you get around. Maybe sometimes you get around your family members, or you get somebody around somebody on the job, and maybe you're going through a battle. Maybe you lost a loved one. Or whatever it may be, or you're going through a hard trial, and your co-workers, they said, now listen, look at you. If God was really God, and your tears, like David, become your meat day and night, because they asked you, where's your God now? Where's your God at now? Look at you. You're going through a battle. Look at you. You're going through a trial. Look at you. Look what kind of shape you're in. And they asked you, where's your God at? But I want to tell you, my God's right there, and he knows what I'm going through. And he sees my tears. But David said his tears had become his meat day and night. Oh, I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't be like that, like David. Amen. When they cry out and say, where's your God at now? Amen. And our tears become our meat day and night. Amen. Because we want to be at that in that right channel that God can help us. Amen. That we can prove to the world that God is still God. No matter what we're going through, no matter if we're going through through a valley or we're on a mountaintop, God's still God. Amen. He's the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountain. Amen. Amen. I'm going to prove to the world that he still is God. Amen. I know I failed a lot of times in that area. Amen. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Again, Isaiah 38:5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Amen. Hezekiah, when Isaiah came and said, set your house in order, because you're fixing to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to cry out to God. And God came back and told Isaiah to go back and tell Hezekiah that I've seen his tears. I've heard his prayer. Jeremiah 9:1 says it like this. Oh, that, and Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. He said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, I believe Jeremiah was like that. No wonder they called him the weeping prophet. He said, if my head was a fountain, or my head was what, let me read it again. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. He'd weep day and night. Amen. For the slain of his people. Amen. Because one time they told Jeremiah, I said, you go and you seek God for us. And come back and tell us what God told us. Amen. Or what God wants us to do. And you remember Jeremiah came back and told them what God wanted them to do. And they would not hear Jeremiah. No wonder he cried out for the burden of his people he had. Because they didn't want to listen to him. Amen. Oh, I'm no pastor, but I can kind of understand sometimes what Brother Baker, Brother Homer, and them go through. You know, brother, one time, just started pastoring. I ain't going to call his name, but he had to counsel Brother Baker some people in his church. And he went with them, told them, by the scripture and what the prophet of God said and what they needed to do. You know what? They just turned around and done the opposite. He called Brother Homer and told him, Brother Homer said, son, welcome to pastoring. Amen, because you're going to find that everywhere you go. You can show them in the scripture what is right. You can show them the prophet's message and tell them what is right, and they don't want to do it. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, help us this morning or tonight. Amen. No wonder. Amen. I can sometimes, the prophet of God said, I'll go off and I'll cry because such a rebuke I had to bring to the people. What about your pastor sitting back there? What about Brother Homer back there? Sometimes the things that I do that puts them through that. I should be ashamed of myself. You should be ashamed of yourself. Amen. And he said that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. I might weep day and night. Oh, God, help me to have some of that. Amen. When I see the people, God, help me to have a burden for the people, a burden for the lost. Amen. Oh, somebody had a burden for me one time. Somebody had a burden for you one time. Somebody prayed for you one time. Somebody prayed for me one time. Somebody cried out for me one time. Somebody cried out for you one time. Whew. Amen. Jeremiah 13:17 says, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Again, I think of pastors. Said, but if you would not hear it, My soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive because they would not listen to what Jeremiah had to say. Won't listen to what that man back there, sitting back there, has to say. I won't listen to what Brother Homer has to say. Hey, they're men. They make mistakes. Hey, amen. Sometimes they got to just go by what they feel. Hey, you know, it might not be thus saith the Lord all the time. Amen. But if it's according to the Bible, if it's according to the message of the hour, then it pays us a little bit to pay attention to what they're saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and he said, I'll weep in secret places. My soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. It's just pride. Amen. And my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears. Amen. Jeremiah 14:17. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them. Let my eyes run down with tears night and day. And let them not cease. For the virgin daughter that my people is broken with a great breach. With a grievous blow, very grievous blow. Again, St. Luke 7:38, and stood at his feet, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and then wipe them with the hairs of her head. Oh, can you imagine? We all know the story. Brother Branham demonstrates it so good. One place he says, Jesus, the French call him Jesus. He says, Jesus with dirty feet. Oh, can you imagine? I wonder tonight, is he sitting over in a corner somewhere with dirty feet? We've invited him to come here tonight, didn't we? On the way to church or when we got to church, we knelt down at the altar or at our seats and read our Bible. And we prayed and we said, God, we want you to come into the service. You go with us through the prayer request, through the song leading. Bless to whoever's leading us singing. Bless the preacher, Lord. Have him speak to me through your word, Lord. We pray we'd ask God to come. And then sometimes when he comes, he sits over in the corner with unwashing feet. Amen. And but one little lady could not stand him sitting over in the corner. And she had to wash his feet. She didn't have no water, but she washed him with the tears from her eyes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. She didn't care. At first, she probably cared. We remember Brother Brown demonstrates it, like I said, so good, going up to that creaky, up them creaky stairs into her room, pulls open a drawer and gets out a sock and counts her money. Said, just enough. But oh my, he's going to know if he's who they say he is and he's that prophet that the scripture says, he'll know where this money come from. She said, I can't do it. Started to put it back. That's the devil just speaking. But you know what she said? I don't care. Amen. I'm going down there. Amen. Nobody wants to make him welcome, but I want to make him welcome. Amen. Oh, tonight, I want to make him welcome. Oh, he may know what I've been through. He might have known what I thought about the service. He might have known what my thoughts were yesterday, and they might have not been good thoughts, but I know that if I come and make him welcome, he can set me free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. She didn't care what it cost her. Amen. Oh, it may cost us our friendships. It may cost us our prestige. Amen. It may cost us a whole lot of things, but all just to worship him and to make him welcome. Acts 20:19 says it like this, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And with many tears. Amen. Acts 20:31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. He said, I didn't cease to warn everyone. One place Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I came and I spoke the unsearchable riches of Christ. I didn't compromise and I didn't hold back. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:4 says it like this. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you may know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Oh, my, I believe Paul really knew what he was talking about, that he had love. Oh, that's one church he had problems with. The Corinthian church always had to be corrected. But he said, I write to you, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you should know the love which I have abundantly unto you. 2 Timothy 1:4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Again, Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Even Christ cried. Again in Hebrews 12:17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he now found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Talking about Cain, or who was it? Esau. There he was. It said he sought it carefully. It wasn't just haphazardly, Brother Baker. I mean, he sought it carefully. I mean, he was probably more sincere than a lot of us here is tonight. And after he knew what he did, sold out his birthright. And he went and said he sought carefully repentance with tears. But there was no place found for him. Oh my. I wonder tonight, I believe there's a place found for all of us. Because I don't believe here that I hope and I'm trusting that none of us here has sold out our birthrights. Amen. But how many of us have sought God like that, like Esau did? Carefully, it said, with tears. Again, over in Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, we talked a little bit about the scientific approach. We talked a little bit about the scripture approach. Now let's look and see what the prophet had to say. That'd be all right. Yeah. Amen. It said, then God, this is on God's provided way of dealing with sin. It said, then God pronounced a judgment because you listened to your wife and not to God. I took you from the dust, and dust thou shalt return. Eve, because you listened to the serpent instead of your husband, what he would do for her, and the serpent and so forth. Then I can see Adam and Eve starting, his big black shaggy hair, tears running down their cheeks. Walked over Eve, most beautiful body, Adam's big strong arms and shoulders down across his legs, the blood running beneath those sheepskins, and they start walking away. I can hear something going like, brother says, Brother Brown makes a slapping noise, slapping. What is it? It's those old bloody sheepskins slapping around Adam's legs. Again, he said on Law Having a Shadow, 1954. He said, look at that now. He said, I see his shoulders stooping around his big body here. Comes an old bloody sheepskin. Running down those big manly legs comes blood. Tears is dripping off his cheeks. Patting on the top of Eve's head as she leans over on his bosom, and little Eve crying, the tears patting down as it mixes with blood running down her bosom. What's the matter? Something's happened. They can cry now. They're mortal now. They're dying now. He goes, there you are. He said, there they are walking out. Can you imagine? Can you just see the picture? tears begin to run down their face. He said them big manly legs, that sheepskin slapping up against his legs, blood running down, tears dropping on the top of Eve's head as she leans against his bosom. And then tears falling off her cheeks onto the ground. He said, something happened. He said, they can cry now. Where they couldn't at one time. They didn't know what it was. They didn't have no heartaches, no sorrow, no temptations, no trouble, no back pain, no headaches. Oh, we're going back to that. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. They didn't know what it felt like, but they got in trouble and got out from behind the protection of the word. And then something happened and they could cry. They were dying. They were mortal now. Listen again what he says. He said to come to the altar with a dry-eyed confession is a tradition. You should die there to your sacrifice. As you identify yourself, there you are dead. He says, amen. Buried in Christ. The world is dead behind you, and you're to walk in a new life with Christ Jesus in his resurrection, loving his word, taking his word. But he said to come to the altar with a dry-eyed confession is a tradition. Sometimes it's good to break traditions. Amen. It don't hurt us to cry. It's not around. Amen. Brother Branham said it like this. There's not been a better way for a chicken to be born and to peck its way out. He said, if you try to help it, you kill it. But said, that's why that little deal, it pecks its way out. Amen. He said, there's been no better way for a Christian to be born again, to come down in old fashioned order and start crying and let the paint run off their face. Let all the doubt run out of your heart. Let all the frustration run out of your heart. Again, on the message, Perseverance, 1962. He said, here he goes, stooped shoulder, crying. He weeps with you when you weep. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says he was a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You say, Brother David, I feel rejected. He knows how you feel. You say, I feel all alone. He knows how you feel. He said, I've been tempted. He knows how you feel. The prophet of God said on the message, how can I overcome? He was tempted by women. He knows how you feel. Brothers, sisters, he knows how you feel. Amen. He said, he weeps when you weep. He feels your pains. He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmity, weeping, going down to the grave, knowing what the Father had told him, for he said he did nothing till the Father showed him. There he was, see, going. He was going to raise him, but he could weep humanly with humans, going to the grave, weeping. But when he stood there, oh my, he said, take away the stone. He was a man. He could weep. He's a man tarred in the back of the boat, asleep. But he was more than a man when he said, peace be still. He's a man when he was hungry after being fasted 40 days and I come off the mountain. But he was more than a man when he took two fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000 men beside women and children. He was God. Amen. Again on the message, desperation. Oh, I love this. He said, Hannah, a barren woman in the Bible, she wanted a son. And she got to fasting for him. And she fasted and prayed, and to even the priest at the temple thought she was drunk. When's the last time we fasted and prayed like that? I mean, come on now. We ain't here, you know, run the aisles and all that, you know, because they did that in Pentecost and all that. But I tell you one thing, brothers and sisters, sometimes it don't hurt us just to come and weep out to God and say, God, I need you, Lord. I need you, Father. I need the Holy Ghost, Lord. I need something in my heart, Lord. I need more than just coming to church, hearing a few good songs, hearing a few good specials, hearing the preacher preach. I need more than that. I need something that'll stabilize me in this hour that I'm living in. Like me and Brother Baker was talking, we need to be sealed. Every one of them, when he talked about the statue of a perfect man, was a baptism within itself. We can't add it, because if we try to add it, it'll bust up. But let him add it to us. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue not, and on and on and on. Add to that capstone, the seal of God. Then he sets us apart. How many times he talked about that box car that is sealed, set aside. Amen. The old inspector comes by, inspects it. If something's in there, they can't put the seal on it until it's all packed just right. Because as it's going down the track, something may happen and shake it loose. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope we're packed tight tonight. Amen. Because, hey, we got a lot of shaking going on. Amen. As we're going down this track of life. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God. Because he won't put that inspector come by. I remember one time, amen, when I was going out somewhere and where my wife worked. We talked about it this morning, you know, and her director came by and said, well, David, she asked me a personal question. She said, are you like us Methodists? I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, we send some, I don't know how she directed it, but I'm just going to say it like this in my own crazy way. She said, we send detectives out, or, well, not detectives, but she said another word. And they go and they kind of inspect the church where they go, where they send a minister, before they send a minister, and find out their needs. I said, yeah, we got an inspector. Yeah. Called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he knows just what you have need of. He knows what I have need of. Yeah. Amen. And he may make me leave my note just to speak to one individual tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I said, yeah, we have inspectors. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. So even the priest thought she was drunk. She was in such desperation when the rest of the women watching what kind of a bonnet the other one had wore. You know how it goes. And the other one seeing what kind of clothes they had on and talking about the things going on the farm, but not Hannah. She stepped right through the whole crowd and went to the altar. She'd been fasting. She wanted her reproach taken away. What a difference it is today. It's almost a reproach to have a child. Than it was. It was a reproach not to have one. And she got on her knees. And she never noticed the dignity of the temple. She never noticed the dignified priest as he walked out. She was in such distress till the tears was rolling down her cheeks. And when she was crying in desperation, oh Lord, give me a son. Give me a son. Oh, can you imagine? I can see her now, Brother Baker. She's kneeling down there. She wasn't worried about what Eli thought about her. Amen. She wasn't worried about what this one thought about her. She was in desperate need. She wanted her reproach taken away from her. Amen. And she began to cry. Oh, I want my reproach taken away from me tonight. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Give me something that'll stabilize me. Give me something that'll satisfy me. Amen. So desperate that even they thought she was drunk. Hallelujah. There was a song penned many years ago, I think in the 70s. Tears are language. Let me just read it to you. Often we wonder why tears come into our eyes and burdens seem to be much more than we can stand. But God standing near, he sees your fallen tears. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your fears, this is the course, and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. The second verse, when a grief has left you low, it causes tears to flow, and things have not turned out the way you had planned. But God won't forget you. His promises are true. Tears are a language God understands. Brother Branham said like this, tears are water. Talking about that woman that was washing his feet. Tears of water from the fountain of a penitent heart. From her heart. Excuse me. Pouring out tears. What a blessing. Tears of purity. Tears of repentance. Amen. Pour down. Washing the dirty feet of Jesus. Oh God, have mercy. Tears of repentance. Amen. Now, there's other kinds of tears. Can I go on? Listen to what he says. On the message, manifestation of thy resurrection. He said, not upon our churches, Lord. Not upon our membership, but upon you, Lord. We confess our sins. We are guilty and we have no way of standing. You stood in our place and we love you and our hearts burn within us for you. And I long to see the day, Lord, if I can only kneel humbly at your feet. If you'll just let us pat your feet. Bathe it with our tears of gratitude. Paul, oh, the prophet, longed for that. Oh, Brother Dutch, can you see it when you get over there? Oh, Brother Baker, just to get over there. Oh, God. Just to hear him say, well done, well done. And I can kneel at his feet in tears of gratitude. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. Thank you, Lord. He became me that I might become him by grace. Kneeling before him. Hallelujah. Again, he says, when we see our hearts so unconcerned, oh, we enjoy a good message to listen on the radio or go to, can I unquote? Oh my, we enjoy a good message we can live stream or go in the archives. Quote now. Or go to the church. We appreciate a good message. We don't mind speaking of Jesus somewhere. But Lord, is sin so a burden to us that it brings tears to our eyes? Sighing, crying, and standing against it. Everything, the abomination that's did in the city. Lord, let the angel God see that upon us and mark us. He says, grant it, Lord. He said, is it so a burden to us that it brings tears to our eyes? You know, I was reading that scripture in Amos, and I did some reference on that one scripture. It said, and you're like a being plucked out of a firebrand. It said, run me back some reference on about standing in the gap. Amen. How that Moses stood in the gap for his people. When God said, step back, Moses, and I'll wipe them all off the face of the earth. And Moses threw himself in the way. Said, God, before you take them, take me. Brother Bram said, I often wondered about that. But when I began to realize and God revealed it to me, that was Christ and Moses standing for his people. Because remember, Moses got to a place and said, now God, can you imagine a prophet arguing with God and say, God, if you do this, what are people going to think? What's the other nations going to think? What about us today? Standing in the gap. Oh, Brother Andy, I want to be able to stand. Oh, we got some youth that need somebody to stand in the gap for them. We got other brothers and sisters that we need somebody to stand in the gap for them. You remember when the prophet of God said, I've heard of men said that, and we're going, when Brother Branham said he was going to preach on marriage and divorce. And I heard men's testimony said, we don't know if we're going to come back or not. Because they were so mixed up in their marriage. They didn't know whether what was going to be said. But you remember the prophet of God said that he went up there, he began to pray. He said, God, I got men in my church. They're mixed up. What will I tell them? And God gave him grace to speak to us. He stood in the gap for me and for you. Oh, God, help me. And he said, don't. He said, you, and you out on the tape land. He said, don't you do this awful thing no more and teach your children not to do it. Whew. He stood in the gap for us. I want to stand in the gap for somebody today. Amen. There's brothers and sisters. There's preachers that need to be stood in the gap for. Help us, Lord. Amen. Again, he says, question and answers 1954. Listen to what he says. He said, but it's accepting the person, Christ Jesus. And these other things come right on in and they fit together. Let every member in this body this morning, let this little group of people, if we could pull the curtains down along on each side and every person in here receive the person, Christ Jesus, there would never be a fuss. There would never be no argument. There'd be just a perfect love. Yet you still believe this and believe that, but it'd just be so full of love. You see that. Now Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness. He said, just so full of love. He said, yet you still believe this and you believe that, but it'd just be so full of love. I was telling brothers the other day, telling Brother Andy and his dad today about we have a fellowship meeting every other month. It used to be every month, but the pastors that put it on, they're getting Brother Homer and Brother Jimmy Gibson started it many years ago, I think 20, 25 years ago, and we get together the third Saturday of every second month, like January, then March, then May, and on down. Hey, and we may be different on any things, but we come together to have fellowship. And I heard some brother like Brother Ed Biscoe one time was so amazed that it's been going on for this many years and you still can fellowship together. He said we should love one another. He said there wouldn't be a fuss amongst us. Oh, he said you might believe this and might believe that, but we got love one for the other. Oh, God, help me. Give me that kind of love. Give me that kind of love. He said, I'll give you my estimation of what I think the closest thing to evidence that a man is a Christian than anything I know of. You know what it is? It's a travail of soul. A person that's always so hungering and thirsting for God, they just simply day and night, they just can't stand it. They got to do something for God. They're full of love and they're just a soul travail. Just travailing all the time. The Bible, he that goeth forth sowing in tears will doubtless return again rejoicing, bring with him precious sheaves. Is that right? Amen. Listen again. You know, when I read this, it kind of reminds me. Let me read it to you then. He says this on the message, Door to the Heart. And I said, oh, Brother Evans, merciful God, what can I do? I remember the scripture, what it was. What was it? Someone knocking at the door. I'm the Lord thy God. I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. I remember he said, thou shalt tread on the heads of serpents and scorpions, and nothing in no means shall harm them. I lay my hand over on his foot, him screaming, their tears dripping off of his cheeks like that from pain. You remember he got bit by that snake. Now, I don't fish. I don't hunt. I mean, I don't see, now, Brother Baker, you've been hunting, excuse me, but I don't see getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, going out, sitting up at a deer in a stand in a tree, waiting for a deer to walk by. When I can sleep in to about 9 or 10 o'clock, get up and go to either to Walmart's or we got Publix out there where we live, and get what I want and then go back home and have my wife to cook it for me. But, you know, that's just, everybody got their deals. Let me tell you what, I like to shop. I like to window shop. But anyway, here it was. And so this brother, he said, Brother David, let me take you fishing. I was out in Florida. I said, I've got several ponds over here where I live. I said, all right, I guess I can. I guess we will. So he said, I'll get you a fishing pole. We'll just go down fishing. And on the way, while we was going down there, Brother Baker, he said, now, as we was walking through the weeds and through the bushes and all that, he said, now, better be careful. I said, really? He said, yeah, we got some nasty snakes around here. I thought, my Lord. I said, my Lord. I said, my Lord. I said, oh, maybe he can carry me out like Brother Branham had to do Brother Welch Evans. Amen. He said, it's him screaming in pain, the tears dripping off. I said, Heavenly Father, I'm knocking at your door. We're in a state of emergency. Have mercy, oh God. God came on the scene. Amen. To whom shall we go? 1960. Do you believe the good old time heartfelt salvation brings tears of joy and happiness and peace that passes all understanding? Again, question answers, 1964. Listen, you remember Brother Branham's life story? They called him a squab or something because he's half Indian, you remember, and all that. And he's think he's walking a girl home carrying her books. Listen to what he says. He said, I stepped up with a hammer, pulled back on the rifle. I said, now, which one of you wants to die first so you won't watch the others? They started squealing. I said, now, don't squeal because you're all going to die one by one. And I meant it. And just then they started squealing and I pulled up and snapped. The gun snapped. I throwed another shell in. Snapped. It snapped. Another shell snapped. It snapped. And I pumped 16 shells on the ground. Every one of them snapped. And them boys running and screaming and diving over the hill and everything. Now listen to what he says. He says, and after that, after they left, I stood there when I got so angry till I wouldn't cry. I would laugh like an idiot. And that's what he said. He said, and tears run out of my eyes. Now that's a temper. He said, if it hadn't been for God, I'd been a murderer. And I picked up them shells and put them back in the rifle and pow, pow, that shoot just as good as ever. Talk about grace. But he said, I left so hard like a idiot. Scream and laugh and tears would run down. He said, ain't that something? A temper. I got three more. That'd be all right. You may ask me a question, said Brother David. Will weeping ever cease? Listen to what he says. Revelations 21:4 says it like this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrowing nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. Now listen to what your prophet said. Message, straight as a gate. He said, straight as a gate, and said Jesus, and narrow as a way. And you think that millions and all you Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals going in? Let me unquote message people. Quote, you'll be fooled at that day. Jesus said, many will come and sit down in the kingdom. Said, I've a right to be here. Can you imagine? I have a right to be here. See, I believe the prophet. I had a butt buckle. I had all the books. Now I have a right to be here. But listen what he says. He said, they'll come in, they'll say, I have a right to be here. He said, but the children of the kingdom shall cast them out. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's better take inventory this morning, Christian. There'll be 10 times millions, times billions of professed Christians staunched in their life that have missed the gate. Jesus said so. Again, on church dedication, that great, big, beautiful life that our Lord lived was instrumental in God's hand. But it could never be a perfume until he was crushed and mashed and spit on and squeezed the very life out of him at Calvary. That made the anointing for us. He was the lily of the valley. Do you know what you get out of lilies? Opium. What does opium do? It soothes pain. It puts you to sleep in a dreamland. What does the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Spirit do? The opium of the Holy Spirit eases every pain. Takes away every tear, mends every heartache, the lily of the valley. The last one, listen what he says. Deep call it to the deep. Washington, D.C., 1954. And when life is all over here on earth, the last prayer has been prayed. The battle's all done. Oh my. You remember on that film? He's crying. He wipes the tears from his eyes. He said, excuse me for being a baby. But something gets in me when I go to talking about him. I wonder how that is with us tonight. Oh, we may know the seals. We may know all about these things and then things are good, and I ain't knocking on that. Hey, we may know all church protocol, we may know, but does something get in your heart when you go to talking about him? The one who paid the price. The one who made it all possible for me and you to be here tonight. The one that put us together, Brother Baker. Him, Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He made it all possible. He says, the last prayer's been prayed. The battle's all done. Smoke's dried up, gone away, arms in stack. The Bible's closed and we come up to your house. That great morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, as the poet said. Lord, as we see that great table stretched out there for that supper, thousands of miles long, looking across the table to each other, battle-scarred veterans. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he said, looking across the table from each other, battle-scarred veterans. Oh, Brother Andy, it does something to me. It's like this. You remember the story. The king wanted somebody to ride by his side. All the soldiers started polishing their shoes. They started shining up their armor, polishing everything, their plumes and everything. And as the king drove by in his chariot, all the soldiers that were polished, everything was in place. But he seen this one little foot soldier. Shoes wasn't polished. Armor was dent, scars all over him. Micah, and he said, king said, son, young man, where'd you get them scars at? He said, on the front lines for my Lord. He said, for my king. He said, come and ride by my side. Brother Bram said, oh, we get over there and we look across the table from each other. Battle-scarred veterans. Oh, Brother Dutch, we look across the table from each other. Battle-scarred veterans and say, boy, we finally made it. We finally made it. Hallelujah. All the trials, all the heartaches, all the trouble we had to go through, and we finally made it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We finally made it. He said, we look across the table, tears of joy running down our cheeks. The king come out in his beauty, holiness, walk down along the table and take his own hands and wipe the tears from our eyes, saying, don't cry no more, it's all over. Enter into the joys of the Lord. The toils of the road will seem nothing then, Father, when we get to the end of the way. And help us tonight, Lord, forgetting those things which are in the past, let us press toward the mark of the high calling now. May your spirit come and manifest your son, Jesus Christ, to these people. So I've tried as a mortal to tell them of you being the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, for we ask in Jesus' name, thy beloved child. Amen. But he said, all the toils of life will seem nothing then. We get to the end of the way. Tears. Tears. I stand. Just bow our heads. They come to their music. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we bow our heads, Lord Jesus, Lord, just a simple message, Lord. But Lord, I believe it was something that you wanted me to say tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, I love you tonight, Lord. There we read, Lord, how all different kinds of tears, Lord, what they're made out of and how they help us, Lord, to cleanse our eyelids and keep our eyes moist and healthy and all that, Lord. And that's good, Father. How can anybody make a human being so much like that, Lord, that when they cry it would help them, Father, to flush out all the wrong hormones and all that, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a great creator you are. Didn't you see the scripture, Lord, tell us about how you hear our cry and you see our tears? How that men of God wept because of their people they were burdened for. And then, Lord, you said you'd wipe away all of our tears. Then we heard what the prophet said about weeping and crying and how that little woman that washed your feet, see, he said, tears of repentance. And I went on, we could go farther. And that last Lord, he said, one of these days it won't be no more tears. He'll come out. The Bible's closed. The battle's over. Arms stacked. We come up to your house. Sit around that table thousands of miles long. Looking across to one another. Battle-scarred veterans. You come out and you take your fingers and wipe our tears and say, don't cry no more. It's all over. Lord, I'm looking forward to that day. Thank you, Lord. Help me to be ready, Lord. Father, it's not a shame to cry. It's not a shame to shed a few tears. God, I've shed a few tears here lately because of my aunt, my dad, Lord, my pastor's wife. Lord, didn't you hear about different ones, Lord, that left a message? Or different ones that's got tangled up the things of the world? God, it brings tears to our eyes, Lord. Knowing that that's my brother, that's my sister, Lord. Oh, God. And maybe some of them, Lord, just deceived, Lord. Maybe they don't know what they was doing, Lord. If that's the case, Lord, help them tonight, Father. Help them, Lord. Lord, if they've not said anything that would cause them to blaspheme, then help them, Lord. Lord, you see my brothers get tangled up back in the things of the world again. Help them tonight, Lord. Wherever they may be, Father, help them. Lord, if there's others, Lord, help them, Father. There's a young person here tonight, Lord, that maybe their mind or their life or whatever it may be, it's all out of sorts, Lord. Help them tonight, Lord. Help them. Let them realize that somebody's standing in the gap for them. Somebody's praying for them. Grant it, Lord. Help us all, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because one of these days, Lord, that quote's going to be a reality. When we're sitting across the table, looking at one another, tears streaming down our face. Saying, we made it. We made it. Then you'll come and take your finger and wipe the tears from our eyes. Oh, God, I'm looking forward to that day. But until then, Lord, help me to be faithful in what you called me to do. Help my wife to be faithful. Brother Baker, his wife, Lord, the church here, Lord. Church back home, Brother Homer. Lord, your bride around the world. Where they may be gathered at, help them to be faithful, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Because one of these days, that will be a reality, Father. Oh, we're looking forward to that day. And the little things that we went through here in life, the little trials, the little troubles, the little heartaches, I seem as nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Whatever you say, go ahead, brother. Say. Amen.
I'm longing for.
Oh, are you longing tonight for Beulah Land? Hallelujah.
And someday, only I'll stand. There, my home shall.